Hey there, it's Tony here from the Coach Call podcast. Is a drama-free workplace really possible? Well, today's guest, Michelle Francis, tells me that it is. Stay tuned to hear how. Hey there and welcome to the Coach Call podcast. Today we're unwrapping a topic that's really close to my heart. It's all about workplace culture. And when you consider the amount of time that we will spend in our lives working within a team, within a business, within a company, and then we provide a percentage of that particular time at the end of our days, we're going to be incredibly surprised. It could be as high as 40%. Yet, for 40% of our life, we put up with a culture, potentially, that isn't great. We put up with people who we don't get along with. We put up with people who don't respect us. We put up with environments that are toxic and people that are poisonous. Yet, why do we do that? You know, statistics will tell us that 20% in a workplace are highly engaged, 20% are actively disengaged, and the 60% that sit in between will swing either way. Some of them may be productive, some less so. Some will be 9 to 5, some will be the working dead. Some we need to continually motivate, while others will be very innovative in the way that they get rid of and shirk their work duties. Yet, so why do we do this? Why do we put up with culture in the workplace that just isn't good enough? Why do we walk around on eggshells around some people? And why is it that we can often look at the leadership of the businesses or the companies or the teams that we work in and ponder the question, why aren't they doing something about it? You know, culture takes work, agreed. Culture takes leadership, absolutely. Now, my guest today is Michelle Francis from Venus Consulting, and she has taken leadership in this particular area. She's developed a program, which she'll be talking about today, that delivers outcomes for businesses, teams, and companies of a no-drama workplace, a drama-free workplace. Imagine that, a drama-free workplace. How does she do it? Well, stay tuned and you'll hear in just a minute.
The Coach Curl podcast is brought to you by Think and Grow Business, the home of the Think and Grow Business Mastermind. If you're serious about growing your business, get serious and join a mastermind group today. Find out more at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. And now it's back to Coach Curl.
Welcome to the Coach Curl podcast, Michelle Francis from Venus Consulting.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
Workplace culture, Michelle. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about it as being incredibly important. Mm. But we still see a lot of stats out there that indicate that we're generally not improving. Tell me, why are you so passionate and what prompted you to help businesses create a better culture?
A couple of questions there, Tony, but to go back to the last one, what prompted me to start and launch Venus Consulting, going back to before I started the business, my experience in the workplace back then was unfortunately often that, you know, either I experienced it myself, interpersonal conflict, or I saw other people being involved in that. And the effect that conflict has in the workplace, both for the mental health side for staff, but also for the company objectives, obviously, is huge in a negative way. And you know, workplace culture today, unfortunately, there's not. Or I feel that a lot more businesses should be on board with creating a great workplace culture, and that's where I hope I can help. It really goes back to the recruitment process. I think overall companies, businesses and so forth are excellent at skill testing their staff, but they forget the other half of that is to actually find out if the person that they're hiring fits in with their current team.
Absolutely. I spent 30 years in the workforce and I worked in some pretty poor cultures. And you mentioned things like mental health and you mentioned performance of the business. Now, I know that some of the businesses and some of the teams that I worked within actually felt that they were going okay. Mm-hmm. So even though the culture was poor, a lot of the people there didn't really want to be there. It was a struggle to get out of bed some days to drag mm-hmm. yourself off to work. If I proposed ways to improve that culture, most of the people wouldn't have seen it. Do you see that scenario a lot in the work that you've done?
Well, absolutely. I think that, we got a tendency to, if no one speaks up, we've got a tendency to just think that everything is what is supposed to be, and we forget to go back and evaluate what we're currently doing and asking our staff and so forth where they're currently at. What we should do on a pretty regular basis is to not send out a survey to our staff, because I don't think that we get a realistic picture of the workplace in a survey. I think it's very
impersonal.
Absolutely.
I think if a leader doesn't have a vibe around what's happening in their culture, they're really not leading. But
absolutely, Tony, and spot on with that, because what should really be a regular part and not just a yearly review should be, every quarter or so, to go in and say to each of your staff members face-to-face, have a meeting and just touch base to say, how are you travelling and are you content and is there anything that you can feedback to me, good or bad?
Yeah.
And also just, make sure that their professional behavioural preferences are met, because a lot of people will not tell you till they actually asked about how they're going.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also that tendency that we accept the workplace for it is what it is sort of scenario, which is really frustrating. So listening to us today, there's going to be a lot of people who identify their workplace as toxic, poisonous or just bad, but there's also going to be some people that think it's not great but don't know the difference. So you mentioned interpersonal conflict.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just based on my experience, I know that when I was having conflict with people or that there was conflict within the team with other people, culture suffered.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, again, it goes back to basics of not being able to handle conflict and not being able to manage it and see a way out. I personally think it should be an integral part of the employee handbook, how to manage conflict and how to properly communicate, verbal and non-verbal, when you're having conflict.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be something that we don't know how to handle once we're faced with it.
Yeah, and to back that up, to provide people with the skills to be able to do that, because it's, once again, I'd probably believe that there's companies out there that have it in their handbook or their employee handbook, but have they really trained and developed their people?
Mm.
And a lot of people, in my mind, and understand conflict when it's at that last resort edge, where someone's being pushed into a corner they believe that they've been pushed into a corner and they start fighting back. But there's so many opportunities before that to deal with that conflict, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And I think that being a nationally accredited mediator, and where I specialise in workplace mediation and also family law, I often experience that once I go out to a company where there's interpersonal conflict or crisis point conflict, for that matter, the environment changed fairly quickly after a mediation session, for example, and I think it should just be not the last resort, but one of the first ones. What people in conflict often are after is somebody who is neutral, not a HR person that, one person might feel that, he, she likes him more than me and so forth. And it's not
That happens, doesn't it?
No, it does all
There's
the time.
There's favourites in the workforce all the time.
Yes, absolutely, and it's not the right dispute resolution techniques to bring up in that scenario.
Yeah. So you mentioned crisis point, and I've got a really good visual, and I want you to expand on that maybe a little bit later. And interpersonal, so your research indicates that there's even a stage before that, that you need, the businesses should be skilling their people up to deal with prior to that. Would you like to share that?
Sure, Tony. So with the program, the new program that I've just delivered, what I have done there, you know, through a long research, is to break it down to three levels of conflict.
Okay.
So I've got what we call the looming conflict, and that's where you just have that gut feeling of something is not quite right in your environment.
Yeah.
You might not be able to put a finger on it, but there's just something that's not right. No one is really speaking up, but there's a little bit of unease in the environment.
So a bit of tension in the
tension,
air.
Absolutely.
You're not quite sure where it's coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
And so how do you deal with, like I'm sure that there's many people that feel that in their workplace. So if I'm feeling that and I'm part of a team there, what's one suggestion that you can give me to help me get through that?
Yeah, I guess, you know, from a manager's perspective, it's really about making sure that you have that open and communication with your team members, that you let them know that they can come to you at any point in the conflict, not only just when it's about to happen, but also, you know, when it's really not nice anymore, it's not going smoothly.
Yeah.
It's about having an open door policy to know that they can come to you, but they can also come to HR if that's necessary.
Okay. Because if it's not dealt with then, and I'm presuming three levels of conflict and your research is indicating this, your next level is that where that interpersonal conflict?
It is indeed. So the three levels are the looming conflict, where something is not right. You've got the interpersonal, so that's obviously where two or three people are going at it.
Yeah.
Not really that happy. And the last one is really a crisis point conflict, where the looming conflict, the interpersonal conflict, so forth. It's just escalated to a point where you feel that there's no return.
Yeah, the crisis point is when the shit hits the fan.
It is really where the shit hits the fan.
So,
that's exactly right.
So if I'm in a team or if I'm leading a team and I know that Mary's not getting on with Bill, for example, how do I deal with that? Like, it's not my conflict.
It is not your conflict, Tony, that's right. And that's unfortunately where a lot of managers are going wrong, because they are amazing at, you know, hitting the bottom line in the end and fulfilling the objectives for the budgets and so forth. But not all of us are good at handling conflict, you know, straight on. And you can't blame them for that, but it's unfortunately a vital part of that role.
And once again, it's a skill, isn't it? It's a skill that can be taught and trained.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to the basics of, you know, employing and matching the right people with the right roles. And if you cannot handle conflict as a manager, you might need some more training, or you might not be quite ready for that kind of position.
Yeah, I can picture a lot of people listening to this probably shaking their heads at the moment because they've got a manager that isn't dealing with conflict. So what's one tip you could probably give to those managers that, well, they're probably not shaking their head, but those managers out there, what's one tip that you can give them? You mentioned open door policy, and that's a great place to start.
It's really a matter of self-awareness as well as awareness amongst the team members.
Yeah.
It's really a matter of being able to draw on those softer skills that we have, in particularly about your emotional intelligence. So, you know, for many that can sound like, oh, that is not something that I should be dealing with, especially not if you're male. It can be quite
confronting.
Confronting, absolutely. Yeah. It can be, but it is about the emotional intelligence, being able to communicate, being able to listen to the parties when they have conflict, for example.
Yeah.
Have your structure and your techniques, your dispute resolution techniques in place, so you can deal with it, so you can talk them through it, and also give them negotiation skills to move forward.
Excellent. Good advice. Fantastic advice. I know many leaders that I've worked with that would have benefited immensely just from what you talked about then, Michelle. But if all else fails and nothing's happened as in conflict management as the people work through the three levels, so if the leader has ignored the looming conflict, the gut feel that they've got that it's not quite right, and then is allowing the interpersonal conflict, because even though it may only be two members of the team, it's affecting everyone, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Is that where we hit crisis point?
It could easily go there, Tony, and, yeah. and that's what I often see when I go out and I work with people. What I'm particularly passionate about, I live and breathe it and can't get enough of it, is to get that foundation right. And yeah. how I see that's happening is that we get to know about different communication styles in the workplace. Yeah. It's really alpha and omega when it comes to being able to deal with people. What I, for example, do is when I first go into a workplace, I will... Tony, are you familiar with neuroscience and the prism brain mapping tool?
I know a little bit about neuroscience. Yeah. I know we've got a brain in our head and I know there's a couple of different parts in it.
Yes.
I like to keep things simple, but tell me about the brain mapping thing that you were just talking about, because I find that stuff fascinating.
It is amazing. And actually, a little bit of a side note here, but Dr. David Rock, who's actually a Sydney boy, who's now in New York, he's co-founder of the New Leadership Institute in New York.
Yeah.
And also, he invented the term New Leadership. But side note, what he has done is he's gone to New York and opened up the New Leadership Institute, and he's working with the best scientists and psychologists throughout the world. So what they do, what neuroscience really is you take people, you put them in the scanners, like the fMRIs, you measure the brain and look at the brain when you give them different actions to do or things to think about. Anyway, but when prism brain mapping is it stems from the neuroscience part, and what it does, it goes in and looks at our professional behavioural preferences. So it's not about personality types, but look at how we act and react when we are faced with either threat or reward. It's an incredible tool, especially in the workplace, to give staff members tools to understand different communication styles in the office. You know, a lot of us, some of us are straight shooters, or we don't like conflict, or we tend to, be very focused about people and relationships, where, the salesperson is all about status and results and so forth, and accounts about numbers, so forth.
Yeah.
So it just gives us a great tool of understanding one another.
So by understanding the people that you're working with and alongside of, that helps minimise the potential for conflict?
Oh, absolutely. I think, a lot of different matters can obviously escalate to conflict. It could be because you're not certain of the task division in a workplace, or you've got different ways of handling a project. But often it's about misunderstandings when it's to communication between two or more people.
Yeah, excellent. They call you the no drama queen. Yeah. Is that right? And where did that come from? I think it's pretty cool, the no drama queen.
Yeah. It is a bit of a funny one, Tony. But yes, they do call me the no drama queen. I guess it's because overall, everything that I do through Venus and the programs that I develop and so forth is all under the umbrella of no conflict, and being a mediator and so forth. That's about it. But I was once asked a long time ago why I deal with conflict resolution. And I said, my answer was that I absolutely hate drama myself. And it's kind of really ironic that I've gone into this field, because I really dislike it. But there's a huge satisfaction for me.
I can imagine, yeah.
Of managing and helping people through it. So that's what I do.
So the no drama queen.
That's it.
So Michelle, the no drama queen, can you tell me then? So what you've spoken about has been awesome. It's mainly been about really poor negative work forces and how people can help deliver that workplace that they deserve to be in. Everyone deserves to be in a good, fantastic, performance-orientated culture. In fact, I believe your new program that you've been working on is called Workplace Prosperity.
The Workplace Prosperity program, absolutely, Tony. And I'm really happy. It's just gone live and with amazing feedback on it. It's about no matter where you are at the three levels of conflict, we go back to basics. We go back and first of all, professional behavioural preferences test each of the individuals in your team. We talk about emotional intelligence, we talk about mental toughness, the big fives, we talk about team dynamics, neuroscience on a level that everyone can relate to. We talk about the introverts, extroverts.
That's pretty detailed.
It's very detailed. It's a program that CME work with the businesses for between 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And what we ideally get to at the end of it is that I would actually guarantee you a drama-free workplace.
A drama-free workplace, yes, guaranteed no dramas. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely, because it's
not... That's pretty ballsy, can I just say that?
I know it's pretty ballsy, you've got to be, but I know that that is the outcome that we will reach at the
good
end of
product.
It. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. You know, we take your staff through a change of mindset. There is absolutely no quick fix when it comes to workplace prosperity or to a cultural working environment that is blossoming.
Yeah.
It cannot be done overnight, and I guarantee you that we will do that after 4 to 6 months.
So following the program, you guarantee no dramas.
Absolutely.
But the program is the program, I guess, isn't it? Because you mentioned the word quick fix, and unfortunately we live in a world where people are wanting that quick fix.
Yeah,
but
that's
so good. As a trained mediator and then as the no drama queen, it's almost like, I won't say contradictory, but I know listening to you now, I know where you want to spend the vast majority of your time working, and that's on the Workplace Prosperity Program as the No Drama Queen, I would imagine. You don't want to be called in as the mediator when the shit's hit the fan.
No, but you know what? what I would wish that companies would do is not call in a mediator 4 months down the track or 6 months down the track. Just imagine if they'd called me in week one instead of 6 months down the track, the money and the time that they could have saved in that period.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt that mediation is an incredible tool for conflict resolution. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I've got a structured national process that I must follow,
but
still being a third neutral person, I will never ever take sides.
There's no doubt it works. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely does. So, you know, combining the two, it is just it's a recipe for something that I personally believe. I think it probably sounds a little bit arrogant here, but it is just a recipe for something that no one else has done in this country.
It's not arrogant, it's confidence. That's what I'm hearing. Michelle, some of the stats that I've seen about good performing workplaces, generally the stats indicate that a good culture drives a performance upwards of 20% on what you would see on a poor performance. Does that reflect back in what you're seeing?
Oh, no, I think it's a lot more than 20%, Tony.
Truly? But okay.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that if you've got a culture that is blossoming, a place of workplace prosperity compared to a bad workplace culture, I think that you're looking at least 50 or 60%.
Truly, wow.
I think you are, absolutely.
And we've got businesses out there accepting that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Accepting that as the way of the world, the way it is.
Yeah.
That's so sad. So if I'm a business owner sitting on the fence listening to this at the moment, I'm looking up workplace prosperity. I'm Googling it. I'm looking at the No Drama Queen because I want to understand how this can impact my business. Now, tell me about what a good culture looks like. Let's finish the interview on a positive note. I mean, what a positive note. You can help a business get 50% better and you're going to guarantee your results. There's not too many consultants that I know that are going to stand up and be counted in those sorts of things. But when you're working in a great culture, and I've worked in a couple of really good teams, energy, enthusiasm, a shared vision, shared values, all those things sort of come to mind, you know. What is it in your eyes that makes up a great culture? Visualize it for us.
Oh, visualize it. As mentioned before, I think it's really a reflection of who we are and how we run our business. That's workplace culture. It's about having that vision together, that your employees are on the same path as you and your business value. Okay, there's so much to it, but I think a few tips, you know, recruitment process, as I mentioned before, as well as skill test, make sure that the people that you are employing are fitting with the teams. Make sure that you not personality test them, but your behavioral preferences, because that will give you an indication of if they fit in.
And that is such a simple thing there, because I see so many businesses out there just recruiting what I would call arms, legs and a body and a heartbeat maybe if they're lucky. But you're saying to be recruiting with the team in mind? So the team that you've got, someone that's going to fit in there with from a behavioural point of view?
Absolutely. You know, you need to find out where their skills are, both when it comes to the task that they're going to perform and the people as well. I'm just working with a company at the moment, and the sad thing is that they have, but it's an unfortunate situation that they have brought in a consultant that he has got a reputation of just going in, getting things done and returning huge amount of money. Like, he's literally, when the budget is in red, he's getting in a green within, you know, first financial year. He's amazing, but he's got absolutely no people skills whatsoever. So they are turning a budget around from being red to green. However, just in the last 12 months, they've lost two people because of his management style of people. So it is so important. It's extremely important.
So the culture is a reflection of the leader. Is that a nice little simple way to think about it, or can be a reflection of the leader?
Absolutely.
So it all starts from the chair.
That's an old bunning saying. Yeah.
Starts from the chair.
But we all know that people in most cases, they don't leave, a bad pay. They actually leave a bad manager.
Yeah. And what I find, just as an interesting side note, people may come to you and say, I'm leaving because I got offered more money.
Mm.
But I always ask the question, why were they looking? Because if the culture was good, most people aren't looking.
Mm.
And, that's awesome. Mm.
And I think another thing that kind of amazes me sometimes is that in regards to budgets and so forth, I hear businesses and people that I speak to saying, you know, we budgeted for X amount of products or services. We reached that, but we still, you know, we sold as many products or services as we were meant to. But the bottom line shows that we didn't reach the figure that we needed to. And why that is because how many people go in and budget for the amount of people that they're going to lose?
Oh, absolutely. And what a cost. And once again, it's almost like some owners accept that cost as part of their business. Yeah, people don't like working here, so I leave. That they leave after 6 months.
Mm.
So shouldn't that owner be sitting and looking at themselves and asking them, why are they leaving, at least?
And Tony, the thing is that research actually indicates that the people that person that you're going to replace, let's say that his annual salary is 100 grand, that it costs the company up towards 75% of that salary to replace an employee.
Wow.
So can you just imagine?
That's pretty huge.
That is huge. So that comes with, you know, the training that you're provided to the person who's leaving, the training that you're going to provide to the person starting up, recruitment cost, lost product. You know, overall, the Australian economy, it costs off, it's like 7, 8, 9 billion per year in lost productivity due to
Wooshka.
Yeah, exactly right.
Wooshka. There's so many reasons that you've just talked about as to why your programs are needed within the business environment that I see. As you know, I do a little bit of business coaching and I work with a lot of small businesses. And if I as a business coach, I very hard for me to be saying, I can lift your sales by 50%. I can remove all these costs. Mm. From your business. Now, when I'm looking at black and white, you know, P&Ls and whatnot, you can cut out some money. But you're looking at some of those hidden costs that they've just come to accept. Things like the recruitment of additional people, the time that they're going without someone, because which is the difference between when someone leaves and then someone else starts. And then saying that if they get their culture right, you could potentially lift them 50% sales, revenue, profit, productivity.
Absolutely. And the, you know, unease it causes the rest of the team when one is leaving.
Yeah.
Other people need to take on more tasks to cover that person for a certain period of time.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
When people leave, is it often the good ones or the bad ones that leave?
You know what? In today's business world, Tony, it's, you know, fortunate and unfortunate that, you know, we can jump and skip and jump to the next opportunity.
So many choices.
So many choices. you know, if you network a little bit, it's not hard to get a new offer tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
so it's often the good ones that leave.
It's often the good ones,
leaving the bad ones behind.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah.
And then owners or managers not prepared to deliver them the skills.
It's sad figures. It's huge cost to the overall mental health of the employees and also the bottom line of your company.
Absolutely. I'm so pleased to hear that companies are responding to Workplace Prosperity, the program, because I know that you've done a lot of research. I know you spent a lot of time in it. I know that you've got some real quality credentials behind what it is that you do. I can only hope that that sort of program is really picked up well within Australia.
Mm.
We do have, as you know, I've shared my beliefs with you before, that we do have a culture of she'll be right. And I think that, you know, when we accept the she'll be right is when we start winding down that road to poor culture. So, Michelle, where can people find you?
Tony, they can call us directly if they want more info on 1300 304018, or they can jump online at venusconsulting.com.au, and please don't hesitate to give me a buzz at any time. There's absolutely no pressure or any kind of obligation to go any further, so I'll be very, very happy to give some personalized tips.
Excellent.
For you and help you along.
Now, I would probably encourage all people out there that are running businesses or working in teams to understand that concept of looming. I think it was looming, wasn't it? You mentioned looming conflict.
Yeah.
Because I think if your people are skilled enough, the conflict is dealt with at an early stage, which is that gut feel, there's something wrong, I can't pinpoint it. I think if you provide the skills to your team to deal with it then, just simply by doing that, your business is going to be so far advanced over others where people aren't skilled.
Mm.
Because then ultimately, the way that I'm visualising what Michelle has talked about today, you become that downward spiral to where the shit hits the fan. And sorry if I keep using that parochial language, but that's the way that I'm visualising this crisis point. Because crisis point is you've got people in tears, there's people at 10 paces, there's standoffs, there's dueling guns, however you visualise that.
Mm.
And none of that's good for business.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And I think that I do believe that we're making a huge difference when it comes to workplace prosperity. You know, thank goodness there's so many great companies out there who are doing a lot of amazing things for leaders in particular, but as an overall way of going forward, we need to have and deal with all laws in the workplace, and that's where I hope we help.
Absolutely. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the Coach Call podcast. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. Folks, don't forget, it's venusconsulting.com.au. If anything that Michelle has talked about today has resonated with you, I would encourage you to make contact. Thanks very much, Michelle.
Thank you so much,
Tim. And we'll be right back with the Coach Curl podcast.
Coach Curl proudly supports Carter's Cause, raising funds for Heart Kids Australia. Honouring the brave legacy of Heart Angel Carter, who passed in 2013, just 30 days old. All funds raised by Carter's Cause go to aid the families of kids born with congenital heart disease. Learn more by visiting www.carterscause.org.au.
So how was that, hey? You can see why she's called the No Drama Queen. Did you hear her passion? Did you hear her credibility? Did you hear her research? Did you hear her experience? Michelle Francis, the No Drama Queen, creating no drama workplaces, and I wish her all the best. Because when it comes to leaders and managers and owners wanting to create the workplace prosperity that they long for or the drama-free workplace that their people deserve, it takes courage to bring in someone. It takes courage to be aware that you need some external help. Everyone has skills and everyone has abilities, and sometimes the skills and abilities to develop a culture and a great culture and awareness within your team comes from outside of your business. So I implore you, if you want to create a successful high-performance business, create a culture that is performance-driven but is very satisfying and creates significance for all of the people within your team. That takes leadership. That takes courageous leadership. And if you're sitting here thinking or sitting on the fence or not sure where to go or identifying with some of the stuff that Michelle had talked about today, I would ask you, contact venusconsulting.com.au and see what Michelle can do for you and your business. I'll be right back.
Join the group of people impacted by Seriously Simple Stuff to get you unstuck. The first book by Tony Coach Curl. Available at Amazon, Tony's Simple Stuff provides the tool for people to master your life and aspirations. 20% of every book sold supports Carter's cause. Back to Coach Curl.
I remember the phrase distinctly. I think it was shared most by my friend John Maxwell when he talks about culture eats strategy for lunch. Culture eats strategy for lunch. And in my mind, culture eats strategy for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. You know, if you've got a great culture within your workplace, if you've got people that are aligned to the vision of the business, if you've got people that have bought into your goals, your strategy can be less than ideal, because if people understand what the big picture is, they're going to do their very best to create it. They're going to do it. And that's what people do. But people are hopeful creatures. We hope that our work gets recognized. We hope that our work has significance. We hope that our work has a greater purpose. We're hopeful creatures. And as anyone in business, anyone who leads a team or any manager out there, it's our obligation to help people fuel their hope. And when we fuel their hope, funnily enough, we start to create a great workplace culture. So what's some of the great workplace culture that you've worked in? I worked in a team in the early days of leading large teams. And when I say large teams, I had a team of, in this store, I had six managers that were part of they reported directly to me. And then I had a team of about 100 team members. And now this team, we operated together going back more than 20 years, which gives you an indication of, you know, the level of experience that I've had. But when I think about that team, they were by far the best team that I've ever worked with. They were energetic. They were all ambitious. They all wanted to make a difference. They all built great teams underneath them. And because there were so many qualities and attributes that indicated performance, we were able to perform above the norm in a situation where we weren't expected to perform. I sit back and I think about that team often. Now, there's no surprise when members of that team all became successful in their own right, because they had the attributes, they had the ability, they had the skills, they had the knowledge, and they had the attitude. And sometimes attitude is the biggest thing. If you want to make a difference in your workplace, ask yourself how you can make a difference. Don't sit back and wait for someone else to make the difference. Don't sit back and wait for the boss to come through with a culture program. Just don't wait. Go out. Get to know the people that you work with. Get to know them on a level which builds trust. And you're on your way. They're the starting steps to creating a great culture. I hope you've taken some great knowledge away from today's podcast. I'd like to thank Michelle Francis from Venus Consulting for sharing her time and her expertise with my listening audience today. I'd like to thank the team back at Think and Grow Business. Without them, this podcast just simply wouldn't exist. And I just ask yourself, if there's anything that you can do to help you create a culture that is positive, that has performance relation into it, and creates a satisfying place for your team to be. What can you do today to help that along? I'm Tony Curle. Thanks for listening, and don't forget the golden rule. Just don't be an arsehole. Until next time, I'll see you then.